Introduction to Cardiovascular Hardware. This lecture presents a comprehensive overview of cardiovascular hardware and monitoring techniques used in biofeedback practice. It begins by establishing the physiological principles behind non-invasive cardiovascular monitoring. It introduces the technological modalities, including temperature sensors, photoplethysmographs, PPG, and electrocardiographs, ECG, which allow clinicians to observe and modulate autonomic nervous system activity. The focus is on instrumentation, sensor placement, physiological signal characteristics, and artifact management. The lecture emphasizes the interplay between blood flow dynamics, thermal regulation, and cardiac signals, examining how feedback thermometers and photoplethysmography, PPG, devices detect and translate subtle physiological changes into training cues for patients. Key concepts such as thermal lag, arteriolar tone, and interbeat intervals are defined and contextualized within clinical settings. Additional attention is devoted to environmental influences, including room conditions and postural alignment, which affect the fidelity of biofeedback signals. The later sections describe in detail the types of artifacts that may corrupt cardiovascular recordings, how to identify and eliminate these artifacts, and the implications of artifact contamination on heart rate variability metrics. This comprehensive account equips clinicians with the theoretical understanding and practical skill set to deploy cardiovascular biofeedback confidently and competently. The lecture concludes with practical takeaways and a synthesis of core lessons about the responsible and effective use of cardiovascular hardware in clinical biofeedback. Cardiovascular hardware. Cardiovascular hardware in biofeedback comprises devices designed to monitor and quantify physiological changes associated with blood flow, heart activity, and temperature regulation. These devices translate imperceptible shifts in autonomic function into visible data streams that both clinician and client can interpret. Peripheral temperature and blood volume pulse are two foundational measures. Peripheral temperature, typically recorded at the fingertips or toes, reflects tonic blood flow through small arteries known as arterioles. It changes slowly and provides an averaged representation of sympathetic and parasympathetic activity. In contrast, blood volume pulse, measured through photoplethysmography, provides a phasic index of vasomotor change, responding within seconds to stress-induced shifts in arteriolar constriction. Each modality captures different temporal features of vascular behavior, and together they offer a nuanced view of autonomic regulation. For example, temperature may continue to rise even as the blood volume pulse has plateaued, suggesting sustained parasympathetic dominance. Consumer-grade wearable devices now offer simplified access to these measures. However, clinical applications demand higher accuracy, faster response times, and consistent calibration. Clinical-grade systems also provide real-time feedback displays and analytic capabilities that facilitate interpretation, coaching, and outcome tracking. These instruments are not passive observers, but interactive tools in the self-regulation training process. Their design, accuracy, and placement can either enhance or compromise the effectiveness of biofeedback interventions. By understanding the capabilities and limitations of cardiovascular hardware, clinicians can make informed choices about equipment selection, signal quality assurance, and the integration of data into therapeutic decision-making. The ultimate goal is to help clients achieve voluntary control over physiological systems traditionally considered automatic, using real-time biological signals as a guide. Feedback thermometer. The feedback thermometer is an essential tool for monitoring and training peripheral temperature as a surrogate for blood flow and autonomic balance. This instrument functions by passing a low-voltage direct current, DC, through a thermistor, a resistor sensitive to temperature changes, and measuring how the resistance varies as the skin's temperature fluctuates. As the skin warms due to vasodilation, the thermistor's resistance drops, allowing more current to pass through the circuit, which the device then translates into a temperature reading. Conversely, as the skin cools due to vasoconstriction, resistance increases, reducing current flow and resulting in a lower temperature display. This electrical signal undergoes amplification, filtering, and digitization to provide a stable, readable output. Operational amplifiers within the circuitry allow the system to compute not only absolute temperature, but also derivative values, such as rate of change, which are useful for shaping feedback thresholds and training protocols. A key feature of temperature feedback is its temporal slowness, known as thermal lag, which encompasses both biological components, such as heat storage in the skin and vasomotor inertia, as well as hardware characteristics, including the thermistor's response time. Thermal lag means that temperature is a late marker of physiological change. It may take 20 to 30 seconds for the device to reflect a shift in autonomic tone. This characteristic limits the use of temperature feedback in tasks that require immediate feedback, but makes it valuable in contexts focused on long-term autonomic regulation. Moreover, temperature feedback is particularly effective with vascular responders, who display strong and measurable changes in fingertip temperature in response to relaxation or stress. Clinical applications include training clients with migraines, Raynaud's disease, and anxiety disorders to raise peripheral temperature voluntarily. Proper use of a feedback thermometer requires both technical knowledge of its components and an understanding of the physiological principles it reflects. Thermistor attachment. The accurate use of a feedback thermometer depends on the correct attachment of the thermistor, as even minor errors in placement or taping technique can distort the data. A thermistor is a temperature-sensitive resistor embedded in a bead that must be securely and precisely affixed to the client's skin. The clinician should tape the first 3 to 5 inches of the thermistor lead to the skin in a straight line using breathable porous tape. This stabilizes the cable and prevents movement that might dislodge the bead or create motion artifacts. The bead itself should be taped along the length of the finger or toe rather than around its circumference. Circular wrapping risks constricting blood flow and artificially lowering the reading, which may lead to incorrect interpretation of vasomotor activity. Overwrapping the bead with multiple layers of tape should also be avoided, as this can insulate the sensor and create a blanketing effect that traps heat, falsely elevating the signal by up to 1 degree Fahrenheit. Clinicians should secure the cable to the client's clothing or chair, allowing sufficient slack to prevent pulling when the client moves. This prevents signal dropouts and helps maintain a constant thermal interface. Even with optimal taping, thermistors are delicate instruments and should be handled with care to prevent internal wire breakage or detachment of the epoxy bead. Regular inspection and replacement of worn components are necessary for reliable operation. Clinical success with temperature biofeedback depends not only on the sophistication of the equipment, but also on the clinician's precision and consistency in sensor attachment. Thermistor placement. Thermistor placement must be anatomically strategic and physiologically informed to ensure accurate monitoring of peripheral temperature changes. Preferred sites include the index finger, middle finger, or web dorsum between the thumb and index finger. These areas are richly perfused and highly responsive to autonomic shifts in arteriolar diameter, making them ideal for tracking vasodilation and vasoconstriction. The fingers are often favored due to their small mass and exposure to environmental conditions, which amplify temperature changes and make them more readily detectable. Placement on the toes or foot may be used in cases where hand measurements are unreliable or when clinical concerns focus on lower extremity circulation. Clinicians should use Velcro straps or self-adhering Coben tape to anchor the thermistor bead, avoiding excessive pressure. The selection of the site should also take into account individual differences. Research using thermographic imaging has shown substantial variability in stress reactivity across sites. A finger that responds robustly in one client may remain inert in another. For this reason, clinicians may initially monitor multiple sites to identify the most sensitive and diagnostically useful location. The choice of placement should also account for the session's goal. If generalized warming is desired, a site showing systemic change is ideal. If local vasodilation is the target, a site with strong localized reactivity is preferable. The ability to individualize thermistor placement enhances the diagnostic precision and therapeutic impact of temperature biofeedback. Site selection is not a trivial task. It can determine the success or failure of the intervention. Room conditions. Environmental factors exert a powerful influence on temperature recordings and must be carefully regulated during all biofeedback sessions. Room temperatures should be maintained around 74 degrees Fahrenheit, as this provides a neutral thermal environment that does not artificially bias peripheral temperature. Cooler rooms below 68 degrees Fahrenheit may induce vasoconstriction and reduce skin temperature regardless of the client's relaxation state, while warmer rooms can promote vasodilation independent of voluntary control. Drafts from vents, windows, or fans can create localized cooling that leads to asymmetric or erratic readings, particularly if the monitor digit is directly exposed. The client should be seated in a supportive chair that maintains good posture and minimizes muscular tension. Arm and hand positioning should also be standardized. Ideally, the monitored hand should be placed at or below heart level. Elevating the hand above heart level reduces perfusion pressure and may result in lower temperature readings unrelated to autonomic tone. Subtle shifts in limb position can create apparent changes in vasomotor activity, which can mislead the clinician. Additionally, surrounding the client with thermal buffers, such as curtains, cushions, or even potted plants, can stabilize the microclimate and reduce noise in the temperature signal. Lighting should be soft and indirect to prevent heat sources from interfering with the measurement site. Finally, the clinician must be aware that postural adjustments or body movements during the session can alter blood flow dynamics and compromise data quality. The goal is to create a stable thermal environment that isolates client-induced physiological changes from extraneous environmental effects. Checking thermistor accuracy. Routine verification of thermistor accuracy is essential for maintaining the integrity of temperature biofeedback training. Clinicians should periodically calibrate feedback thermometers using a reference thermometer, such as an alcohol or mercury instrument. This process involves placing both the thermistor and reference thermometer in the same thermal environment, typically room temperature, and comparing their readings. A discrepancy greater than 1 degree Fahrenheit suggests a malfunction or drift in sensor calibration. The most frequent cause of inaccuracy is a damaged or aged thermistor, often resulting from improper storage, repeated bending, or exposure to contaminants. A functional thermistor should respond within seconds to known temperature changes, such as contact with a warm object or breath. In addition to direct comparison with a reference, clinicians should conduct tracking tests to evaluate dynamic accuracy. This includes gently warming the thermistor bead and verifying that the display responds with an appropriate rise in temperature within 20 to 30 seconds. If it does not, the signal path, including cabling, sensor, encoder, and software, should be inspected. Cross-channel misconfiguration is another source of error. A thermistor may accurately measure temperature, but be assigned to the wrong display channel. Finally, thermistor specifications include a parameter called the time constant, which defines the time required to reach 63.2% of a temperature change. Clinicians should ensure that their devices meet or exceed clinical standards for responsiveness, typically 1 second or faster. By systematically checking for both static and dynamic accuracy, clinicians safeguard the validity of their training sessions and prevent erroneous interpretation of client performance. Tracking test. The tracking test is a practical method for verifying that the thermistor accurately reflects temperature changes and that the entire signal pathway, from the sensor to the software display, is intact and functioning properly. This test is performed by applying a controlled temperature stimulus, such as warm breath or contact with a warm object, directly to the thermistor bead. Within 20 to 30 seconds, a properly functioning thermistor should display a corresponding increase in temperature. When the warm stimulus is removed, the reading should decrease at a similarly responsive pace. This test confirms several critical elements. First, that the thermistor itself is responsive and intact. Second, that the lead wires and connectors are undamaged and properly inserted. Third, that the encoder input channel matches the assigned software channel. And finally, that the amplifier, analog-to-digital converter, and display interface are all working together coherently. Any deviation from the expected temperature trajectory may indicate a fault in one of these components. Clinicians should use this test routinely before sessions to ensure signal reliability. The tracking test also familiarizes clients with the system's responsiveness, helping to establish trust in the feedback loop. A sluggish or absent response could falsely signal to a client that they are failing to self-regulate, when in fact, the equipment is at fault. In some cases, repeating the test under slightly different conditions, such as using a different thermistor or input channel, can isolate the specific source of malfunction. Documenting test results also serves as a quality control measure in research and clinical practice, supporting defensible interpretations of biofeedback outcomes. Baselines. Baseline measurements are foundational for interpreting temperature data meaningfully within and across sessions. A baseline is a resting period during which the client is instructed to remain still and relaxed, allowing the sensor to register a stable signal that reflects their natural physiological state. For research, baselines should last long enough to allow the temperature to stabilize within 0.5 degrees Fahrenheit for at least 5 consecutive minutes. This typically requires a period of 15 to 45 minutes in a thermally neutral room. However, clinical sessions often use shorter baselines, typically around 5 minutes, for practical reasons. If the client has recently been exposed to cold outdoor air, stabilization may be delayed by 20 minutes or more, and initial measurements may not accurately reflect the client's true resting physiology. An unstable baseline, where temperature continues to drift upward during the training, suggests that the client has not fully acclimated to the environment, and any observed warming may be attributed to external thermal adjustment rather than internal regulation. To ensure consistency, clinicians should standardize the timing, posture, and environmental conditions for baseline collection. Moreover, collecting baselines across multiple sessions provides a longitudinal view of client progress, helping to distinguish between temporary fluctuations and sustained changes in autonomic regulation. Establishing a valid baseline is not simply a procedural formality. It provides the interpretive anchor for all subsequent feedback. It determines whether changes are attributed to volitional control or environmental adaptation. Normal values. Clinicians use normative data to evaluate whether a client's peripheral temperature readings fall within typical physiological ranges and to set appropriate training goals. For healthy adults in a room maintained at 74 degrees Fahrenheit, fingertip temperatures generally exceed 88 degrees Fahrenheit, while toe temperatures typically reach around 85 degrees Fahrenheit. During temperature biofeedback training, clients can learn to raise finger temperatures to 95 degrees Fahrenheit or higher and toe temperatures to 93 degrees Fahrenheit through volitional control of vasodilation. These targets are not arbitrary. They are based on empirical data correlating skin temperature with blood flow and autonomic balance. However, considerable individual variability exists, influenced by factors such as age, gender, vascular tone, and baseline sympathetic reactivity. For example, individuals with Raynaud's disease or chronic anxiety may present with significantly lower resting temperatures and slower warming trajectories. Clinicians should interpret values in the context of individual baselines rather than rigid norms. Furthermore, when evaluating progress, the magnitude and consistency of change often matter more than reaching an absolute temperature threshold. A 5-degree increase sustained across multiple sessions may indicate a meaningful improvement, even if the final value remains below population norms. Temperature values also serve as indicators of general health and circulatory efficiency. Consistently low temperatures may warrant medical referral or further cardiovascular assessment. By combining normative benchmarks with individualized goals, clinicians can tailor training protocols to client needs while maintaining clinical rigor. How a feedback thermometer works. The feedback thermometer converts changes in skin temperature into electrical signals that can be processed and displayed for clinical use. At the core of the device is the thermistor, which alters its resistance in response to temperature fluctuations. This resistor is integrated into a circuit powered by a direct current, where the voltage drop across the thermistor is directly proportional to its resistance. As temperature increases, resistance drops, leading to an increase in current flow and a corresponding change in voltage. This raw electrical signal is too weak and noisy for interpretation, so it is passed through an operational amplifier, a high-gain amplifier that boosts and refines the signal. The output is then subjected to a low-pass filter that blocks high-frequency noise, including the common 50 or 60 Hz line interference from electrical grids and ambient radio frequency contamination. Because the signal is already in DC form, it bypasses the rectification step used in AC signal processing. The filtered signal is then fed into an integrator, a circuit component that accumulates voltage over time to provide a smooth and stable output. This integrated signal is compared against a threshold set either manually or by software, which governs the activation of the visual or auditory feedback given to the client. By continuously converting small changes in peripheral temperature into meaningful feedback, this system enables clients to become aware of, and ultimately control, the physiological processes that are otherwise inaccessible to conscious awareness. The accuracy and speed of this feedback loop are crucial for successful training, making it essential that each component, from the thermistor to the amplifier to the display, is properly calibrated and maintained. Feedback thermometer accuracy. The clinical utility of a feedback thermometer depends heavily on its accuracy and resolution. The device must reliably detect small changes in skin temperature to allow for fine-grained feedback that supports operant learning. For most clinical applications, a feedback thermometer should maintain an accuracy of plus or minus 1 degrees Fahrenheit when measuring temperatures between 65 degrees Fahrenheit and 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Additionally, it should have a display resolution of at least 1/10 of a degree to ensure that even minor changes are visible to the client and clinician. This level of precision is especially important when training clients to make subtle adjustments in vascular tone, such as in migraine prevention or stress management protocols. A device that is too coarse or delayed in its response may fail to reinforce desired behaviors effectively. Modern digital feedback thermometers often include calibration features and internal diagnostics that can alert users to malfunction or drift. However, clinicians should still periodically perform manual checks against reference thermometers to ensure accuracy. In recent years, smartphones and companion apps have been developed to function as feedback thermometers, using external probes and software algorithms to provide real-time temperature feedback. While these systems offer portability and convenience, they must be rigorously validated before being used in a clinical setting. Inaccurate devices can lead to misinterpretation of client progress, ineffective training, and erosion of client confidence. Therefore, maintaining thermometer accuracy is not merely a technical concern. It is central to clinical efficacy and ethical practice. Drug effects. Several drug classes can influence peripheral circulation through vasodilation, with varying mechanisms and implications. Moderate alcohol consumption typically induces vasodilation, although chronic use may impair cardiovascular function and reduce peripheral blood flow. Most beta blockers do not affect vasodilation, but exceptions like carvedilol and nebivolol do promote it. Calcium channel blockers such as verapamil are known to facilitate peripheral vasodilation. Similarly, medical cannabis has vasodilatory effects. Narcotics, including opioids, can cause both vasodilation and a reduction in blood pressure. Sedative hypnotics also contribute to vasodilation and lowered blood pressure. These pharmacological effects are important considerations in biofeedback and autonomic regulation, as they may alter baseline vascular tone and influence physiological signal interpretation. Infrared thermometers. Infrared thermometers provide a non-contact method for assessing skin temperature and are valuable tools in both clinical and research settings. These devices work by detecting the infrared radiation naturally emitted by the skin, which correlates with its surface temperature. Unlike contact thermometers, which require direct skin application, infrared thermometers can rapidly measure temperature from a distance, typically within half a second. This speed allows clinicians to scan multiple body sites in quick succession, providing a comprehensive thermal profile. Such capability is useful for identifying asymmetries in blood flow, assessing responsiveness across multiple sites, or monitoring temperature in areas where attaching a thermistor would be impractical or intrusive. For example, changes in facial or neck temperature may be tracked covertly in psychophysiological studies. Although infrared thermometers are less precise than contact sensors, typically accurate to within 1 to 2 degrees Celsius, they are sufficient for identifying relative differences between body sites. This makes them especially useful when the goal is to assess general patterns rather than absolute values. However, environmental variables such as ambient temperature, humidity, and surface reflectivity can influence infrared readings. Therefore, clinicians should standardize environmental conditions and measurement distance to improve reliability. Infrared thermometers are also less effective at tracking dynamic changes over time, such as those used in operant feedback protocols, because they do not offer continuous, real-time feedback. Nevertheless, they remain an important adjunctive tool, particularly for screening, comparison, and initial assessment. Photoplethysmograph. The photoplethysmograph, PPG, is a non-invasive optical device that detects changes in blood volume in the microvascular bed of tissue, typically the skin. It consists of two main components, a light source, often emitting infrared light, and a photodetector. In transmission mode, the light source and detector are positioned on opposite sides of the measurement site, such as a finger or earlobe. In reflectance mode, both components are on the same side, with light reflecting from the underlying tissue. As blood volume increases during systole, more light is absorbed or scattered and less reaches the detector. During diastole, less absorption occurs. The resulting fluctuation in light intensity is converted into an electrical signal that mirrors the pulsatile nature of the arterial blood supply. This signal reveals the shape of the pulse wave, allowing for the calculation of blood volume, pulse amplitude, and interbeat intervals. Because the PPG signal directly tracks the cardiac cycle, it offers high temporal resolution, making it suitable for assessing heart rate variability. However, PPG is also highly sensitive to motion, pressure, and environmental light, requiring careful attachment and calibration to ensure accurate readings. When used correctly, the photoplethysmograph is a powerful instrument for evaluating autonomic nervous system function, tracking stress responses, and guiding biofeedback interventions aimed at improving cardiovascular regulation. Blood volume pulse, BVP. Blood volume pulse, BVP, refers to the pulsatile increase in blood volume within the microcirculation that occurs with each heartbeat. It reflects arterial inflow into capillary beds and is modulated by arteriolar tone, which is influenced by both sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system activity. The BVP signal, captured by a photoplethysmograph, is visualized as a waveform with a steep upslope, rounded peak, and gradual downslope. The amplitude of this waveform represents the volume of blood under the sensor, while the time between peaks corresponds to the heart rate. Clinicians use BVP amplitude to assess vasomotor reactivity and sympathetic activity. A sudden drop in amplitude, for example, may indicate sympathetic arousal and peripheral vasoconstriction in response to stress. Conversely, a gradual rise suggests increased parasympathetic influence and relaxation. Because the BVP waveform includes detailed information about the cardiac cycle, it is also used to derive interbeat intervals for HRV analysis. The shape of the waveform can indicate the presence of secondary reflected waves or notches, such as the dichrotic notch, providing insights into arterial elasticity and vascular tone. However, BVP measures are relative. They describe changes within an individual over time rather than providing absolute values comparable across individuals. This makes baseline establishment and intra-individual comparison critical for interpretation. Despite these limitations, BVP remains a cornerstone of cardiovascular biofeedback due to its sensitivity, real-time responsiveness, and ease of use. PPG sensor. The PPG sensor is the interface between the client and the photoplethysmographic system, converting fluctuations in light intensity into an electrical signal that reflects pulsatile blood flow. The sensor typically includes a light-emitting diode in the infrared spectrum, which penetrates the skin and underlying tissue, and a photodetector that measures the amount of light either transmitted through or reflected by the tissue. The degree of absorption is proportional to the volume of blood in the tissue at any given moment. The signal is then amplified and digitized to produce a waveform corresponding to the cardiac pulse. In reflectance mode, used on the forehead or chest, both the LED and detector are on the same side, requiring less tissue penetration and providing a compact design. In transmission mode, used on fingers or earlobes, the light must pass entirely through the tissue, which can be more vulnerable to artifacts from movement or temperature-induced vasoconstriction. Regardless of configuration, the quality of the PPG signal depends on multiple factors: sensor placement, tissue perfusion, skin pigmentation, ambient light, and mechanical stability. The signal is subject to contamination from muscle movement, light leakage, or changes in contact pressure. These variables can distort the waveform, leading to erroneous heart rate or heart rate variability measurements. Proper skin preparation, secure attachment, and monitoring of raw signal morphology are essential practices for ensuring optimal results. When these conditions are met, the PPG sensor provides a reliable, high-resolution view of cardiovascular dynamics, facilitating detailed assessments of autonomic reactivity and training success. Limitations to photoplethysmography. While photoplethysmography offers several advantages for non-invasive cardiovascular monitoring, it also has important limitations that can affect the accuracy and interpretation of the data. First, BVP measurements only reflect blood flow beneath the sensor, making them highly localized and susceptible to regional variability. For example, perfusion may be adequate in one digit but compromised in another due to factors such as temperature, vascular structure, or prior trauma. Second, BVP values are relative rather than absolute. This means that clinicians cannot directly compare amplitude values across different individuals or even across different sessions unless the conditions are identical. Third, BVP is especially vulnerable to movement artifacts, which can introduce spurious peaks or obscure the actual pulse wave. Even minor shifts in limb position or sensor pressure can distort the signal, leading to inaccurate heart rate or HRV calculations. Fourth, vasoconstriction due to cold exposure or stress may reduce or eliminate the pulse wave, making data collection impossible until perfusion is restored. Fifth, PPG signal quality varies with skin tone and tissue thickness, as darker pigmentation or denser tissue may absorb more light, thereby diminishing signal clarity. Finally, BVP does not directly assess electrical cardiac function, meaning it can be affected by peripheral conditions that do not reflect central cardiovascular changes. These limitations must be understood and accounted for to use photoplethysmography effectively. Clinicians should complement BVP data with other physiological measures, such as ECG or temperature, and implement artifact management strategies to enhance signal fidelity and interpretive validity. Advantages to photoplethysmography. Despite its limitations, photoplethysmography offers several distinct advantages that make it an indispensable tool in cardiovascular biofeedback. Its most significant benefit is its sensitivity to rapid changes in blood volume, allowing real-time monitoring of arousal and recovery during stress regulation tasks. Unlike temperature feedback, which reflects averaged blood flow over time, BVP can detect immediate vasomotor shifts, making it suitable for moment-to-moment feedback and dynamic training protocols. PPG is also relatively easy to set up, requiring minimal skin preparation and offering fast signal acquisition. This simplicity enhances client comfort and session efficiency, particularly in clinical settings where time and ease of application are crucial. Additionally, PPG is ideal for clients who are plateauing on temperature training, as BVP can reveal changes in blood flow that temperature sensors might miss due to thermal lag. In clients classified as vascular responders, BVP can display dramatic amplitude shifts, up to 50 to 60%, in response to stress or relaxation, providing clear and reinforcing feedback. Moreover, PPG is versatile in placement. It can be used on fingers, thumbs, ears, or even the forehead, depending on the clinical need and anatomical accessibility. When combined with respiratory monitoring, PPG allows for sophisticated HRV biofeedback protocols that target resonance frequency breathing and baroreflex engagement. The graphical richness of the BVP waveform, with features such as dichrotic notches and reflected waves, offers additional interpretive insights into vascular tone and cardiac efficiency. In short, photoplethysmography is a high-yield modality that strikes a balance between sensitivity, ease of use, and clinical utility. Skin preparation. Proper skin preparation is crucial for optimizing PPG sensor performance and minimizing signal artifacts. Although PPG sensors do not require the same degree of skin preparation as ECG electrodes, certain steps are necessary to ensure adequate light transmission and consistent contact. First, ensure the skin surface is clean and dry. Oils, lotions, and dirt can obstruct the optical window, interfering with the passage of infrared light through the tissue. Clients should be asked to wash their hands before sensor application. For sensors that operate in transmission mode, where light passes through the digit, clinicians should also ensure that fingernails are free of dark polish, as this can absorb light and prevent accurate measurement. In some cases, particularly with cold or poorly perfused hands, the skin may appear blanched or cyanotic, indicating low blood volume and high risk for poor signal acquisition. In these situations, warming the hands with a warm water bath, a heating pad, or a stress-reducing intervention can help restore perfusion. The skin should also be inspected for lesions, abrasions, or edema that might compromise contact or increase susceptibility to artifacts. Some clinicians use alcohol wipes for additional cleansing, although this is not strictly necessary and may cause the skin to dry. Finally, the site should be chosen based on both access and vascular responsiveness. The palmar side of the middle or index finger is often the ideal choice. Still, alternatives such as the thumb or earlobe may be considered if perfusion is inadequate or sensor fit is suboptimal. Consistent and thorough skin preparation enhances signal quality and reduces the likelihood of training interruptions caused by signal dropout or artifacts. Sensor attachment. Attaching the PPG sensor correctly is a fundamental skill that directly influences the quality and interpretability of the BVP signal. The sensor should be fastened snugly but not tightly to avoid restricting blood flow or introducing pressure artifacts. For finger placements, the PPG sensor is typically secured to the palmar side of the middle or index finger using Velcro bands or Coben self-adhering wrap. The sensor must remain aligned with the vascular axis of the digit and should not shift during movement or rest. Clinicians should avoid wrapping the band too tightly, as this can compress the underlying tissue and reduce perfusion, potentially flattening the signal or causing false readings. In cases where the fingers are too small or poorly perfused, the thumb may serve as an alternative site. The ear is another suitable site, particularly in clients prone to finger vasoconstriction. Some clinicians use the forehead or temple when digit-based readings are unreliable. Regardless of placement, the sensor must be shielded from ambient light, which can penetrate the housing and distort the waveform. Light blockers or opaque adhesive coverings may be used to create a controlled optical environment. Once attached, the sensor and cable should be securely anchored to the client's clothing or chair, allowing for adequate slack to prevent tugging. Periodic inspection during the session is recommended, as even slight movements can introduce high-frequency artifacts or cause the sensor to decouple from the skin. Mastery of sensor attachment technique ensures reliable BVP readings and supports the delivery of accurate and responsive biofeedback. Limb position. The position of the limb where the PPG sensor is attached exerts a substantial effect on the amplitude and morphology of the blood volume pulse signal. The relationship between limb elevation and vascular pressure follows basic principles of hemodynamics. When the sensor-bearing limb is placed below heart level, venous pressure increases due to gravity, resulting in greater blood volume accumulation and an enhanced PPG signal. This increase in amplitude can improve the visibility of the waveform, making it easier to detect peaks and calculate heart rate variability metrics accurately. Conversely, elevating the limb above heart level reduces hydrostatic pressure, diminishing blood volume and potentially causing a marked drop in signal amplitude. This reduction may result in intermittent pulse waveforms or complete signal dropout, particularly in patients with marginal peripheral perfusion. Clinicians can exploit this phenomenon diagnostically. For example, lowering the limb to recover signal strength confirms that reduced amplitude was postural rather than pathological. During HRV biofeedback, keeping the monitored hand at or slightly below heart level ensures optimal arterial filling and signal clarity. Clients should rest their arm on a supportive surface, such as an armrest or cushion, to maintain consistent positioning throughout the session. Even subtle shifts in arm angle or hand orientation can alter vascular resistance and disrupt data stability. Educating clients about the importance of limb posture and providing ergonomic support minimizes movement artifacts, thereby enhancing the reliability of both BVP amplitude and timing data. The interplay between vascular physiology and physical positioning highlights the importance of standardized limb placement protocols in clinical practice. BVP artifacts. Blood volume pulse artifacts are distortions or anomalies in the signal that do not reflect true cardiovascular activity. These artifacts can originate from physiological sources, client behavior, environmental interference, or hardware limitations. Physiological sources include ectopic heartbeats, such as premature atrial or ventricular contractions, which can disrupt the regular rhythm of the pulse wave and generate irregular interbeat intervals. Client-related sources include movement, such as shifting position, tensing muscles, or speaking, all of which can interfere with the alignment or contact pressure of the PPG sensor. Environmental sources include exposure to ambient light, particularly fluorescent or LED light sources, and electromagnetic interference from nearby electronics, which can cause high-frequency noise in the signal. Hardware-related artifacts include poor sensor contact, cable movement, or light leakage into the sensor housing. Artifacts manifest in various ways. The signal may show irregular peak intervals, flattened or spiked waveforms, or high-frequency oscillations superimposed on the pulse wave. These anomalies compromise the accuracy of heart rate and HRV calculations, potentially misleading clinical interpretations. Effective artifact management begins with inspecting the raw BVP waveform for visual indicators of contamination. A clean signal has a sharp upslope, rounded peak, and gradual downslope. Deviations from this pattern should prompt the clinician to systematically assess potential artifact sources. Real-time monitoring, client instruction, and careful sensor placement are crucial for preventing artifacts. When artifacts do occur, clinicians must either correct them manually in post-processing or discard the contaminated segments. Maintaining a high standard for signal quality ensures that training and assessment rest on valid physiological data. Short-term HRV values are proxies of 24-hour values. Short-term recordings of heart rate variability, typically lasting around 5 minutes, serve as practical stand-ins for more comprehensive 24-hour HRV assessments. While 24-hour HRV data provide the most robust prognostic indicators, correlating with cardiovascular health, mortality risk, and autonomic balance, short-term measures offer a feasible alternative in clinical and research contexts. The challenge lies in interpreting short-term values appropriately and avoiding erroneous comparisons with 24-hour normative data. Time domain measures, such as the RMSSD and the SDNN, obtained over a 5-minute period, can reflect vagal tone and autonomic flexibility, especially when collected under resting and standardized conditions. However, these values are subject to significant variability due to factors such as time of day, emotional state, breathing pattern, and recent activity. The interpretation of short-term data must, therefore, be contextualized within the individual's baseline and training goals. Clinicians should familiarize themselves with typical short-term HRV ranges and use these as reference points rather than absolute standards. When used longitudinally, short-term HRV data can track physiological change and training efficacy, provided that sessions are conducted under similar conditions. It's also important to educate clients that short-term HRV readings, while informative, are snapshots rather than comprehensive portraits of autonomic function. This perspective prevents misinterpretation of transient fluctuations and keeps the focus on trends over time. When used appropriately, short-term HRV values offer a practical and clinically meaningful window into the dynamics of autonomic regulation. Cardiac conduction artifacts. Cardiac conduction artifacts arise from irregularities in the electrical activity of the heart and can significantly distort PPG or ECG-derived HRV data. Common conduction disturbances include atrial fibrillation, AF, premature atrial contractions, PACs, and premature ventricular contractions, PVCs. Atrial fibrillation is characterized by chaotic electrical signals in the atria, leading to an irregular and often rapid heart rhythm. On a BVP signal, AF appears as low amplitude, irregular waveforms with variable interbeat intervals, making accurate HRV measurement nearly impossible. PACs are early depolarizations originating in the atria, often producing irregular spacing between heartbeats and unusually shaped P waves on an ECG. PVCs originate from the ventricles and result in a wide, premature QRS complex followed by a compensatory pause, creating abnormally long interbeat intervals. These anomalies introduce false variability into the HRV calculation, potentially misrepresenting autonomic activity. The presence of frequent conduction artifacts can compromise the integrity of a session's data to the extent that it becomes unusable. Clinicians must recognize these patterns either visually in the waveform or through automated artifact detection software and take appropriate action. If artifacts affect more than 5% of the recorded inter-beat intervals in a segment, that data should be discarded or labeled as contaminated. While the biofeedback clinician cannot prevent these conditions, identifying and documenting them is crucial for accurate interpretation and client safety. Referral to a cardiologist is recommended when arrhythmias are suspected but have not been previously diagnosed. Cold artifact. Cold artifact occurs when peripheral vasoconstriction reduces blood flow beneath the PPG sensor, leading to diminished or absent pulse waveforms. This artifact is typically seen in individuals exposed to cold environments or those experiencing a sympathetically mediated stress response. As arterioles constrict, the volume of blood reaching the skin surface decreases, thereby diminishing the amplitude of the BVP waveform or eliminating it. The result is a low-amplitude signal or a flatline that falsely suggests bradycardia or missed beats. Cold artifact is most common in the fingers and toes, where the vascular beds are small and highly reactive. It can significantly impair both HR and HRV measurements, frustrating training sessions by delaying the acquisition of usable data. Clinicians can address cold artifact by warming the affected limb using warm water immersion, heating pads, or adjusting the ambient temperature. Relaxation techniques, such as diaphragmatic breathing, may also promote parasympathetic activation and restore peripheral perfusion. In cases of persistent cold artifact, sensor placement should be shifted to a warmer site, such as the thumb or earlobe. Documentation of environmental conditions and client skin temperature can help identify cold artifact as the source of signal loss. Educating clients about the role of cold exposure and stress in disrupting peripheral circulation fosters engagement in warm-up routines and self-regulatory strategies that mitigate this artifact in future sessions. Steps to minimize cold artifact. 1. Maintain at least a 74 degrees Fahrenheit, 23 degrees Celsius room temperature. 2. Use an earlobe or thumb placement or use an ECG sensor. Earlobe blood flow may produce an adequate BVP signal when you can't detect a signal from the fingers. The thumb is an excellent site when a client's fingers are too small or have insufficient blood flow to detect a strong pulse. 3. Position the hand below heart level. 4. Provide your clients several minutes to relax. 5. Allow your clients to place their hands in a sink filled with warm water or in front of a space heater for several minutes. 6. Examine the raw signal for artifacts. Light artifact. Light artifact arises when external illumination interferes with the PPG sensor's ability to measure infrared light reflected from or transmitted through the tissue. Ambient light, particularly from fluorescent bulbs, halogen lamps, or direct sunlight, can overwhelm the photodetector, causing spurious spikes or baseline drift in the BVP signal. This artifact typically appears as large, erratic fluctuations superimposed on the pulse waveform or as a rapid oscillation that mimics noise. Reflective surfaces, uncovered windows, and poorly shielded sensors increase vulnerability to light contamination. Light artifact is especially problematic in reflectance mode sensors, where the LED and detector are on the same side, because light can leak around the edges of the housing. Prevention requires a combination of environmental control and sensor shielding. Clinicians should darken the room or reposition the client to reduce direct exposure to strong light sources. They should also use light occlusive covers, such as opaque medical tape or plastic enclosures, to seal the sensor housing. Sensor placement should be chosen with consideration for both vascular perfusion and lighting conditions. Even well-attached sensors can fail if placed under a reading lamp or near a monitor. During signal inspection, clinicians should be alert for sudden increases in amplitude or unexpected waveform distortions that suggest light intrusion. If suspected, the sensor can be temporarily covered with a hand or a cloth to observe whether the artifact disappears. Managing light artifact ensures clean signal acquisition and enhances the diagnostic and therapeutic value of BVP recordings. Steps to minimize light artifact. 1. Cover the PPG sensor with a baby sock, Coben, a dark cloth, or Velcro. 2. Avoid direct illumination of the PPG sensor. 3. Instruct clients to restrict movement and verify compliance. 4. Examine the raw signal for artifacts. Line interference, 50 or 60 Hz, artifact. Line interference artifact, also known as mains hum, is a common source of high-frequency contamination in biofeedback signals, originating from nearby electrical equipment operating at 50 or 60 Hz. This artifact appears as a sinusoidal ripple or oscillation superimposed on the PPG waveform, often visible during the downward slope of the pulse wave. The frequency corresponds to the power grid standard of the region, 60 Hz in North America and 50 Hz in most other parts of the world. The sources of this artifact include fluorescent lighting, computer monitors, power supplies, and even unshielded cables. While modern data acquisition systems employ low-pass filters to suppress this noise, it can still intrude when shielding is poor or when sensors are improperly grounded. Line interference can obscure the morphology of the BVP waveform, making it difficult to identify peak intervals and dichrotic notches. It may also distort HRV calculations by creating false beats or masking true ones. To prevent this artifact, clinicians should maintain adequate distance between sensors and power sources, use shielded cables, and ensure that equipment is properly grounded. Turning off and used electronics and using battery-powered devices can further reduce exposure. The presence of a consistent 50 or 60 Hz signal in the power spectrum of the BVP data confirms the presence of this type of artifact. Removing it may require hardware filtering or post-processing with digital notch filters. Eliminating line interference is essential for preserving the integrity of the cardiovascular signal and ensuring accurate clinical interpretation. Steps to minimize 50 or 60 Hz artifact. 1. Enable a 50 or 60 Hz notch filter. 2. Place the encoder box at least 3 feet, 1 meter, from electronic equipment. 3. Remove and used sensor cables from the encoder box. 4. Examine the raw signal for artifacts. Movement artifact. Movement artifact is the most frequent and disruptive source of signal contamination in photoplethysmographic recordings. It arises when physical motion, intentional or unintentional, alters the contact between the PPG sensor and the skin. This motion may originate from limb repositioning, tensing muscles, shifting posture, speaking, or even subtle fidgeting. The mechanical disturbance can momentarily displace the sensor or stretch the skin, producing fluctuations in the light path that mimic or obscure actual pulse signals. These disturbances often appear as abrupt spikes, waveform flattening, or large amplitude oscillations in the BVP signal, making it difficult to distinguish between valid heartbeats and artifacts. In some cases, the artifact introduces extra beats or suppresses real ones, resulting in false interbeat intervals and inaccurate HRV calculations. Movement also disrupts the vascular bed under the sensor, adding physiological variability to the optical interference. Clinicians must instruct clients to remain as still as possible during recording periods and provide ergonomic support to minimize muscle activation. Anchoring the sensor cable securely and using a flexible sensor housing can reduce susceptibility. Real-time signal monitoring allows immediate detection of motion-related anomalies. If an artifact occurs, clinicians should pause data collection and re-establish clean signal conditions before resuming. In post-processing, contaminated segments must be either corrected or excluded to preserve the integrity of statistical analyses. Although complete elimination of movement artifact is unrealistic, its impact can be minimized through careful preparation, client education, and vigilance during monitoring. The ultimate goal is to obtain a stable, representative BVP signal that reflects true physiological activity rather than mechanical interference. Steps to minimize movement artifact. 1. Firmly attach the PPG sensor to the client's finger with hands resting on the knees. 2. Firmly tape sensor cables to client clothing for strain relief and cover the sensor with a baby sock or dark cloth to minimize the entry of ambient light. 3. A Velcro band should hold the PPG sensor in place without suppressing the pulse. Alternatively, a mechanical housing can secure the sensor to the finger. 4. Instruct clients to minimize movement and monitor compliance. 5. Examine the raw signal for artifacts. Pressure artifact. Pressure artifact occurs when excessive mechanical force compresses the tissue under the PPG sensor, altering the vascular dynamics and interfering with signal acquisition. This pressure may result from overly tight sensor application, client behavior, such as pressing the hand against a surface, or improper placement of sensor straps or tape. Excessive pressure flattens the vascular bed, reducing blood volume beneath the sensor and attenuating the pulse wave amplitude. In severe cases, it can eliminate the signal or cause the software to miss beat peaks, resulting in abnormally long interbeat intervals. Clients may report a throbbing sensation in the finger, or the waveform may show a sudden drop in amplitude without a physiological cause. In reflectance mode sensors, overpressure can also deform the skin surface, changing the angle of reflection and reducing signal clarity. The artifact is particularly insidious because it can persist throughout a session unless actively checked. Clinicians should use only the minimum pressure needed to stabilize the sensor and verify that the band or wrap is snug but not constricting. They should also ensure that the client's limb is resting freely and not bearing weight on the sensor. Periodic visual inspection of the signal and client posture during training sessions can identify emerging pressure artifacts before they compromise large data segments. If the artifact is suspected, gently adjusting the sensor and verifying signal recovery can quickly resolve the issue. Preventing pressure artifacts ensures that the PPG waveform accurately reflects physiological changes in blood volume rather than distortions from mechanical compression. Steps to minimize pressure artifact. 1. Readjust the tightness of the restraining band. 2. Keep pressure off the PPG sensor. 3. Examine the raw signal for artifacts. Tracking test. A tracking test is a quality assurance procedure used to verify the functionality of the cardiovascular monitoring setup by confirming the system's responsiveness to known physiological changes. In the context of PPG or ECG monitoring, a tracking test typically assesses whether the heart rate display accurately reflects respiratory cycles, specifically, whether the instantaneous heart rate increases during inhalation and decreases during exhalation, a phenomenon known as respiratory sinus arrhythmia. To perform the test, the clinician instructs the client to breathe slowly and deeply while observing the real-time heart rate signal. A well-functioning system will exhibit a sinusoidal fluctuation in the heart rate trace, confirming that the sensor is accurately detecting interbeat intervals and that the data path, from sensor to encoder and software, is intact. This process validates the calibration of the sensor, the accuracy of beat detection, and the integrity of the signal processing chain. If the expected pattern is absent, clinicians must evaluate potential causes, such as incorrect sensor placement, poor skin contact, movement artifact, or software configuration errors. Tracking tests are essential before beginning HRV biofeedback training because they provide immediate feedback on equipment performance and help avoid wasted training time due to undetected setup issues. They also reinforce client confidence in the biofeedback system by visibly linking physiological activity to display outputs. Regular use of tracking tests promotes high standards in clinical practice and supports valid measurement of autonomic modulation. Drug effects. Medications can significantly alter cardiovascular signals by influencing autonomic regulation, blood vessel tone, and heart rhythm. Vasodilatory drugs, such as alpha blockers, nitrates, or certain calcium channel blockers, increase blood flow to the periphery, thereby elevating skin temperature and enhancing the amplitude of the BVP signal. Conversely, vasoconstrictors, such as pseudoephedrine or high-dose stimulants, reduce peripheral perfusion and may suppress both temperature and blood pressure, BVP, measures. Psychotropic medications, including antidepressants, anxiolytics, and antipsychotics, can modulate autonomic tone in complex ways. For instance, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors may reduce sympathetic tone in some individuals, leading to warmer skin and higher HRV, while in others, they may have activating effects. Benzodiazepines typically increase parasympathetic activity and promote vasodilation. Beta blockers reduce heart rate and blunt sympathetic responses, which may dampen signal variability but reduce arrhythmic artifact. Antiarrhythmic medications can suppress ectopic beats that would otherwise produce distorted HRV data. Clinicians must always inquire about a client's current medication regimen and document any recent changes, as fluctuations in drug levels can influence biofeedback outcomes. Importantly, changes in signal amplitude or HRV values may reflect pharmacological effects rather than successful self-regulation. Misinterpreting these effects may lead to false reinforcement or inaccurate conclusions about treatment progress. By maintaining a working knowledge of the common effects of drugs on cardiovascular physiology, clinicians can better interpret signal data and adjust training protocols accordingly.